Yes, I think looking at that is a good basis, a broad basis for creating the human and technological capacities for changing the resources basis of our economy. This is the most important point, because in the run of the last 150 years, there were a lot of ideological debates, pragmatic debates up to now, because the best public or the best economic model battles between market and planned economy or state versus private economy and so forth. And two fundamentalisms have left this debate. One was the fundamentalism of a state-owned planning economy in the East, which collapsed. Because economy is too complex to make it possible to plan all single steps. And it collapsed also on its own bureaucracy. On the other side, in the West, motivated by this collapse, a so-called, I call it Western fundamentalism, came to the top of the economic ideas. Some call it neoliberalism. I call it microeconomics. And with microeconomic approaches, you cannot solve macroeconomic problems and not macro political problems. This totally released from all public responsibility of the modern economic thinking called neoliberalism did lead to the next collapse. We are at the beginning of this process. It's a collapse of an economic thinking. And beside all these debates, it is forgotten. It became forgotten that the hardcore of each economy is the resources economy. Without resources, there is no economy. It's impossible to have a production without resources. The whole economic process is a process in which resources become converted from one structure into another structure. From one, what is the English word? That is Zustand, into another Zustand. Or several times, several conversions, up to the final product. That means from a non-usable Zustand to a usable, and again from a usable to a non-usable, if it is converted to waste, or if it is if there's a corrosion and it disappears, it loses its quality. And this, with the help of another resource, with energy. Therefore, the whole economic process is a conversion process of resources. Without that, there is no table, no chair, no building, no car, nothing. And that means the idea of a so-called material-free economy is nonsense. A material-free economy cannot exist. It can exist in the spirit of some idiots, but it cannot really exist. This is the real economy. And ideas for thinking about that disappeared in the last 100 years. And it is a question which should be answered by psychotherapists. Why in the realm of the often obviously depletion of these exhausted resources, the resources question became forgotten. It is a mystery. It shows that the whole society which calls themselves rational, scientifically based, developed exactly in the contrary way. This is our situation. And therefore, general way, the most important thing in this is the content of most of the activities of UNED is how to come from non-renewable resources spaces, from exploitable resources spaces to renewable resources spaces. This is the main point. It was at any time foreseeable what would happen. 100 years ago, in 1909, the German Nobel Prize recipient for chemistry, Wilhelm Ostwald, wrote a book with the title The Energetic Imperative. And he wrote a sentence in this book, we live in the moment from a surprising heritage below our soil, the fossil resources. This is a capital which will disappear. A permanent economy is only possible with the running supply resources, energy resources supply from the sun. It is impossible to contradict to this basic sentence. And his colleague, the first Nobel Prize recipient for chemistry, Svante Arrhenius from Sweden, wrote in the same years the book The Basics of Chemistry. The sentence is, there are already some countries who who consume more energy than they have under their own soil already. They will take more and more the energy from countries who have more energy under their soil than they consume. And this will lead to what? If we don't shift as soon as possible to the permanent energy sources from the like solar heat, wind, water, and the organic materials, what we now say renewable energies. But the resources question is not only an energy question, it is also a material question. We discuss mostly the energy resources internationally, but we have similar problems with the ore resources. Even the ore resources will become exploited. It is, if you look to the different countries where we have the ores under the soil, it is Very similar situation to the energy situation. Few countries, few suppliers, becoming a monopoly. And it is needed everywhere for production. And we have a little bit more time with that. Because the main difference between material resources and energy resources, fossil energy resources, is that fossil energy resources are not recycled. It is a conversion process from oil, gas, coal, uranium to dissipated energy, to electric power, to fuels, then they have electric power. Later on, and a dissipated energy in a dissipated way doesn't disappear. It is not any more usable, it's only dangerous. CO2, too much CO2 in the atmosphere, nuclear waste, nuclear radiation, all the cadmium and other pollutions coming from the burning of fossil energies. Dissipated, not any more usable as energy, but it exists, it doesn't disappear. Energy cannot produce. This is written in the journal by the law of thermodynamics. It cannot produce, it is there. We can only take it and convert it from one situation, from one Zustand in another one. Only that. It cannot become produced and it will not disappear. And the second law of thermodynamics says we have this conversion process, which is each conversion step, we have a loss. There is no conversion without loss. That's not possible. We can reduce the loss by an efficient conversion process, but we cannot avoid any loss. That means what we term today efficiency means to reduce energy losses, to avoid energy losses, and to avoid pollutions. Because what is pollution? Pollution is the release of a harmful element from its synthesized basis. You have it in a non-dangerous in oil and in coal and under the soil, but then you burn it off and then it becomes released, and the loss is in production in this case, because not any loss is a solution, but if there are negative harmful ingredients in this resource, then you have production. That means we have the two problems. First, disappearance of the non-renewable resources by its conversion processes, and the environmental problem at the same time. Our resources problem is to these two decisive limits shown or proved, you can say, by the laws of two laws of thermodynamics. Albert Einstein says the only two physical laws which can become falsified. And the way, therefore, is to go to shift to renewable resources full ingredients, because then the losses are not polluting. This is the way. With materials, we have a little bit more time because we can recycle it. Therefore, we can buy some time. Some decays have not been had. It is not so urgent if we recycle it. If we recycle it. If you come to a recycling, that means an integrated economy. And the activities you have shown trying to integrate different activities to make it complementary, to bring it together. Because all the needs for networks, the growing sympathies for networks, have its reason in the experience of more and more that a linear economic activity is not sufficient. Particularized without seeing beside. And moving to the future, that means in isolated way, working in an isolated way, can create profits, but can also create a lot of harmful consequences for all the others, including later on the company itself. Therefore, it is the experience that there are complementary activities necessary, new kinds of cooperation, very flexible, and this is, I think, a conclusion of the experience of the network we have introduced. But then the question is, who is the driving force to push this development? Who is the driving force? There is no case, in no field, not in politics, not in economy, not in sports, in no case there is development and a development without main driving forces, without people who carry it, who drive it, who are the motors for this development. Because there is no change without resistance. And all the resisting interests are sometimes covered. Sometimes they are open. Sometimes they are covered. Mostly they are covered because today all speak for a better environment. All are for peace, all are for justice, all are for clean production, for clean air, for saving, protecting the climate, and so on. All are in favor. But if all would say the truth about their own will and activities, all problems would have been solved already. But this is not the case because some are liars. Some strong players lie. Nothing else. They lie. They behave. Do exactly the contrary of what they are saying. And the experience, the bigger they are, the more they have to lose. They can lose the more they are lying. Therefore, 12 years ago, 12 years ago, I was 9 years ago, I chaired the European Photovoltaic Energy Conversion Conference in Glasgow. And I had not the time to take part in all the preparatory meetings, but in the final meeting I was there, and they had the working group proposed to start the opening session. There were 2,000 participants. All the protagonists in this field of solar energy, the environment, they were so happy that Shell had started 1 year before in 1999, the Shell Solar daughter. Now they have understood, now it's going on. Now we have a big player. Now we will see. to give them a statement in the first session, keynote speech. And I said, no, I don't accept that. Here are so many small companies fighting them 15, 20 years against so many resistance, developed the whole technology, and under high risks, spending all their money on entrepreneurs, startups, spending all their money, 80 or 100 hours a week for this development, and in order to show this is another way, here's a new technology. And shall we not to the group who ignored this question and who denounced all the product on this for that, now they started Chancellor, and now they should have a leading role, a representative role in the key meeting of this technology field. I said, no, in no way. And they could not speak. And now, 10 days later, Chancellor doesn't exist anymore. It was a public relation activity, more or less. It costs them nothing, but it gives them a better image for the dirty things. And therefore, the question is, who is the driving force? It is only, is someone able to do that only because he is big? The answer is no. The driving force must be such companies and such people who don't have vested interest in the old resources fields, who are independent of them. And the way to new resources bases in the energy field, at least, is a way from an energy market to a technology market. It is a way from some big players to many players. It is a way from a global resources economy to a local resources economy. It is a way which can be defined, I adapted it in my book, Solar Economy, as a way for the rent of global economy, the globalization of technology, but the regionalization of resources. Because it would be good if all people, all economists would have the chance to get the best technologies in order to work with it, without discrimination. But at the same time, it would be the best for all, for a sustainable future, sustainable resources basis, and an ecological resources basis, that means for survival, to come back to their own regional resources basis. Because only then it is possible to create networks for the multifunctional effects you have. What you have shown is that if companies look to complementary activities, then they can multiply some productions, the multiple effects. And this is only possible in an integrated way, in the most cases at the regional level. Only there it is possible. Look to a very complicated question of renewable energy, the most complicated question, this is bioenergy. And you must see the bioenergy question with the bioresources question in general. Because the present global chemical industry has 90%. 90%, which is a lot. That means more than 400 million tons of oil in the year is channeled to the chemical industry. And if oil runs out, then it runs also out for the chemical industry. The idea to keep this for the chemical industry and to shift cancel the fuel consumption is sympathetic, but it is not probable that it would work. Because if the whole infrastructure for the oil transportation, the oil extraction and transportation, will be only used for the 10% raw materials, for the raw materials basis of the chemical industry, if it becomes so expensive, the whole system is so expensive, it will not become payable. Therefore, if the oil runs out, we need alternatives from the renewable energy basis, from the renewable energy options. And even if we take biomass are hydrocarbons, photosynthetically produced hydrocarbons. That means all what you can do in the chemical industry with fossil hydrocarbons, coal, gas, oil, can be done with hydrocarbons from plants. But it is much cleaner. It is much cleaner. And you are not dependent from very few sources, from very few countries. And you have the unique opportunity to use the multiple effects. This is important. You have agriculture for food production. There are a lot of residues. The residues are seen in many cases as a waste, but it is a very valuable resources basis for the chemical industry or even for energy. You can produce with this perhaps bioethanol with the residue straw. There is again in this bioethanol production a residue. Can give it to the chemical industry. Or you can take the bioethanol for the chemical industry itself, not only as a fuel for the cars. And all what is done always is a conversion, always is a residue. You can always bring back the residue. From agriculture, for food production, to energy production, to energy refineries, bioenergy refineries, to the chemical industry and back. This is integrated production. For this you need complementary activities. For this you need networks. To bring this together, this makes the whole economy more productive and more ecological in the same time. And this cannot be done by 5, 6, 7, 8 global players. Here is one production place which is residues. And this residues could be used possibly 5,000 kilometers away in another factory. And then you have so many transportation costs, so complicated. You can do it at a regional level. Integration means decentralization. In more and more decentralization. This is a bit, but the question, who drives? Who drives, who whips the development? And for this you need a regional policy. And before this point, and even the politicians need education, they need fantasy, they need encouragement, they need information. And information is not information. There are bad informations and good informations. There are biased informations and not biased informations. And most important information kind of psychological prerequisite, which must not be done for by the regional government, but it could be done by independent work, is to show that with regional resources it could be possible, it could be impossible to come to 100% renewable energy supply. To 100%, to show it with numbers. Because this is a psychological breakthrough, to show this in a convincing way, the psychological breakthrough. The biggest psychological barrier against this change, which must happen anyway because of the outrunning of the conventional resources, the biggest barrier is a mental barrier, the thesis, the wrong thesis that conventional energies are not, are indispensable because the potential of renewables is not enough. And because it is seen as not enough, or it is denounced as not enough, it's always to the renewed justification, again and again, for a nuclear power station, for nuclear power stations, for that and for that. Always new justification, based on what energy line, that the potential of the news would not be enough. And for this is an essay to show the 100% possibility. Refer to all existing needs. To show this with existing technologies. And when it is possible to show it with existing technologies, with a mix of all the existing, an intelligent mix tailored to the regional conditions and resources, if you have this, with existing technologies, one point is totally sure. In the run of its implementation, it will become more and more comfortable because the technological development runs. Technologies become from year to year more productive because renewable energy technologies are new technologies. And the space for the improvement of the productivity is always larger with young technology than with old. They had that time. They have had some time. But the time of renewables is already coming. And therefore, it is to show this is a psychological breakthrough. This is the reason why in many publications, this is like a litmus test if you look to publications, if 100% studies are ignored or not. Because this is for the airplane, it is like white water. You know white water, the water and the airplane avoids white water, any white water. If they would accept the protagonist of the conventional resources suppliers, if they would accept that 100% is possible, they would immediately lose their justification for a new nuclear power, coal power, and so forth investments. The public justification would lose it immediately if they would confirm that it is possible. That is the reason why the famous Shell study 10 years ago, showing 15% possible for 2050. I know the author. The author had written 100%. But then the board of Shell decided, no, that's not possible. That's not possible. We cannot publish that. We must say 50%, and based on a doubling of the energy consumption, 2050, that means conventional energy structures will not become touched. Yeah, doubling of the consumption, and from this doubling 50% is removed, that means what is remains And many gave applause because Chad had 50% possibly overcoming the underestimation. Okay, this was one psychological step, but the whole study was a trick. A trick to avoid a more intelligent trick, you can say, to avoid 100% discussion. I have in my book, I see here on my last book, Energy Autonomy, I have quoted several 100% studies from famous institutes. From 78, from 79, 78 for France, 79 for the United States, some for Germany. And if you look to the literature of some energy institutes, not one quote about that. They don't want to have that. They don't want to have that. 100% is a poison for them. Because, they say, don't say it is wrong, it is dilettantic. They don't quote it, not to speak about that. In order to keep the mentality of, to keep the myth of the indispensability of conventional energy sources, because we do would not be enough. Therefore, it is necessary to show 100%. When it is possible to arrive at that, depends on the activity. This cannot be forecasted. That's impossible. I never took part in scenarios showing we have now 12%, or in 2025 it will be 28.6, and perhaps 23.9 for nuclear, and 12.7 for that or for that. All these scenarios are glass per games. Because a serious economist cannot forecast up to the point after the comma, or to the number after the comma, cannot forecast the cost of a technology in 2030. Exactly, impossible. Because then he must know what is up to that point the improvement of the production technology, the technology itself. He cannot forecast scientific progress, technological progress. That's impossible. He cannot forecast the cost of the conventional energies. They will go up, but he cannot know it exactly in which steps it is going up. He cannot forecast the outcome of political elections. Because if 8 years before, 9 years before, Bush would have lost the American elections, or he had lost it, but if he would not have succeeded in keeping the presidency by his manipulation, and Gore would have become president 9 years before, America would be in another situation than today in the energy field. Nobody can forecast that, the outcome of an election. But it plays an important role. If there is a country with a government, a majority, in which a feed-in tariff law like in Germany is adopted and implemented or not, this changes the whole route. And therefore, it is all these scenarios you can forget. The best is you don't read it. Because then you avoid, you save time. And you avoid that possibly wrong thesis keeps in your mind. But to show 100% with existing natural resources basis and existing technology, it is not a Casper. To show it when it becomes, how long do we need to implement this, is another question. For this you must define the driving forces and motivate them. Maybe it lasts 20 years, maybe it lasts 40 years, maybe it lasts 80 years. It depends from the strength of the driving forces, from their support, and it depends from the development of the technology itself. And many factors, many variations are thinkable, but it is a psychological breakthrough to show the 100%. We have in Germany now annually one conference of regions. They all have of counties and cities who have decided we want to go to 100%. And all who decided that have shown that it is possible. If it will become realized, it will be realized in a, with some variations. It will not be the same like they draw down. But to show the principle opportunity is so important. Because this encourages politicians. This encourages mayors. This encourages companies, city councillors, regional councillors. This encourages young people. Moves. This creates a problem, and we need such a problem. Because to implement this, we need a lot of human capacities who have the passion and the knowledge. Education for that is a must. And the most important point I told you yesterday is, besides all the introduction of such topics into our school and high school education, is to support and to organize on-the-job training groups, Weiterbildung, and to introduce by the commitment of the universities of applied science, mainly to supply postgraduate studies. We cannot wait for 10 years more after losing so much time because of the long-term ignorance to this challenge. We cannot wait for 10 years for a new generation which is educated and trained in this field, because we need actions now. Companies need people for that. And they are a lot of engineers, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, architects, who would work in this direction, but they are not educated for that. They got another, the education as an engineer in another paradigm, another energy paradigm. And therefore it is a postgraduate study is a must. Which gives the opportunity to all who have an education in the old paradigm to join the new, to understand the new and to work in it. And because many of these people are in the job and cannot leave their families for some years study in another place, best way would be to offer a postgraduate study for that with e-learning concepts that people can do it from. And then you are, then the universities are a driving force. The main point of the university is to create, to help, to create the human capacities for the companies. Because the companies need this. The German wind power industry has problems, they don't have enough engineers. They have difficulties to hire engineers, the engineers they need. A lack of engineers, of educated engineers for that. This is a barrier at the moment for their further growth. And the same will happen in many other countries. If they start to go to renewable energies, they immediately will come to the barrier of not having enough educated manpower, human power. This is one of the public, regional, it's a regional and the public responsibilities. The other thing is who brings integrated activities together. It could be private companies. It will be a lot of private companies, mainly in the production sector. But energy means always as an element, at least in the electric power structure of a public service. It is a common good. It belongs to the social overhead and capital of a society. And therefore, one of the most important driving forces is a local and regional grid management. But a grid management which is tailored to the energy productions. And this is only thinkable if it is in a public ownership, but with such a direct. Grid is like streets. Like streets, and nobody privatizes streets. The same with the grids. The distribution grid belongs, must be, from my point of view, in principle, in the ownership of the city. The distribution grid. And the medium voltage grid in the ownership of the region. And the transmission grid, the high voltage grid, in the ownership of the state. I think this is a principle. You have better prerequisites for that in the Netherlands than we have it in Germany. Because in Germany we have 100% ownership of all transmission lines in the hand of four private power companies. I call for a national grid company in public ownership. And since years, now in my own party, the Social Democratic Party, comes closer to my position. They say, okay, I think you are right, let's take 25%. I say, no, this is, you have not courage enough. We must call for 100%. Railways that don't belong to the private ownership, the railway. Possibly the trains, but not the railway. Not the street, not a channel. Not a channel. Not an airport. Not an airport. Not the air. Not the air. And not a grid for gas and for electric power. For this you have more conscious and better structures than we have in Germany. Therefore, based on this, it is necessary to build the production forces at the local level, the production. And the fastest development is possible here in the moment with three elements. The first element is the building sector. In the building sector, it is proved by many examples that the solar building doesn't need any more an energy deliverer. That means taking the natural environment as an energy source, to take the house as a power station. This is proved. There are thousands of practical examples. All leading German companies for prefabricated buildings have such a house in their offer. And the influence the hospital, the job training process, the public job training process for that. And at the local councillors level, to say in the Bauordnung, in the order for buildings, this must be done. This must be done in order to avoid pollution, that some houses pollute the others, the people of the others and themselves. therefore to make a public order, a local buildings order. From that, this is a public driving force. Then, if such a decision is taken, we have a dynamic development. All will orient themselves to that. Second step, it's a local level, very important, is to create structures for using or integrated using of biomass. Integrated food production, energy, raw materials. In a collaboration with cities and farmers, in a cooperation. Because only then you can come to the integration, and then only you can use the huge existing potential of organic wastes. You have a higher, in the Netherlands, a higher population density than we have in Germany, and we have a high already. In Europe is a little bit higher. High population density means many regional concentrated organic waste from the households. We have counted in Germany, therefore you must have nearly the same numbers. We have counted by an institute that if we would use all the organic waste collected at the local level, this is a local activity, and convert it into biogas, and use this biogas for electric power production, we could get 20% of all power needs by that way. 20%. If I look to the present situation here, I have a table in which 95% of the electric power production in this region is coming by conventional energies, 45% by renewables, not more than 2% from wind, a little bit from biomass, 4% from biomass, and the other you can practically forget. So 94% conventional, and 20% could be organic waste. This is biomass. Regionalized, 20. For this you need again a public order. If a city decides to do that, to use this organic waste as an energy basis and to organize this with an own utility or with the help of a private contractor, then it must be done. This is local self-determination. And this is not everywhere the same. Not everywhere in Europe we have the same local competences, but I think in the most cases it is. Okay.
Yeah? I have another shopping figure. Yeah. 45
minutes. Yeah, okay. I'm close to the end. The third element is to give the permissions to open the space at the political regional level, to open the space for giving permissions for the using of wind power, because wind power is for the next 20 years the most extending renewable energy power supply in our hands, and with highest quantity and the fastest development to that. And what are the barriers? One is the General Electric power order of the state, influenced possibly by the European level. The other is a regional competence, the other side. It is who gives the permission, who gets soft needs because of a claim against the wind power by some initiative. Or who says it is necessary, we have to do that. Even the protests come from an environmental group which has a limited view on the environmental problems. Therefore, to create a space which gives priority to the introduction of renewable energy. This is necessary. And the work to prepare that, I have proposed in Germany as a public work for the, we call it Katasterämter. At all regional levels, we have Katasterämter in Germany. These are the administrations, the parts, the departments of the administration who have to look for how it, all the land, all square meters are used, with this, by whom and for which purpose. And what we need everywhere is a renewable energy catastrophe, showing, based on the state of the technology, which place is possible to use it for renewable energies, which place is possible, how much is possible with wind, how many high voltage towers will become replaced by that, because we go to regionalization of the power production. What is the real water potential, the waste potential? What is the geothermal potential? What is the real potential to take the roofs, the roofs for solar heat production or solar power production? Osnabrück, not far from here, has counted with a study, with the help of photons, of meteorological data and so forth. They have counted that 60% of their roofs would be enough, equipped with solar power devices, would be enough to meet all electric power needs of Osnabrück. 60%. Okay, this is a potential study, this is a local catastrophe. And as soon you have shown this basis, this land basis, then you create a lot of fantasies for many, many people, for many, many local councillors, for many, many local companies, and for others, and you create a new enthusiasm that this moves into this direction. Thank you.
Burning, very energetical question.